Hey, Smetters.
Hey there, all you cool cats and kittens. Meow.
Well, how's your week been?
You know what, Jennifer?
What, Troy?
It's not been that bad.
Oh, mine was awful. It's been a crazy week. Just work's been crazy, so I'm glad I'm off tomorrow. Yay. But I have worked all week on this story we're doing tonight.
Yes, you have. Every time we've had a free moment, you're like, leave me alone, can't talk. Doing story. Shmoo.
No, it's a really good story, but it was really hard to put together, if that makes sense. Also, I saw the coolest thing this week. Would you like to know what it was? I told you what it was, and you told me it wasn't cool.
Oh, well, it's probably not.
It was, though. I was going to pick up our daughter from school, and I went the back way because it's just prettier going that way or whatever. And
it was raining, too, wasn't it?
It was raining, yeah. And I was driving, and I looked over at this one house because they have lots of decorations in their yard, and I looked closer. Nothing but dragons with Santa Claus hats on them.
You know, I agree with Thanos a little bit more every day.
I mean, there were like...
Why are you not saying it?
What?
Guys, she says it all the time. All the time. Especially when Game of Thrones is on or anything.
Well, up my dragons!
You are an idiot.
I've gotten where I say dragons like that now. I'm like, my dragons! But, yeah, they had like two gigantic dragons and a bunch of little bitty dragons all in their yard. And I'm convinced that I'm supposed to be best friends with these people. But I told our daughter, I was like, we're going to drive back past that house and I need you to take a picture of it because I was going to post it. And she was like, I'm not partaking in your nerdery. And I was like, that's fine, you know. So, I will one day soon get a picture of this house so I can post it for y'all. And if I have any fellow nerds that love dragons as much as I do, then you will see how cool it is.
I need to ask all of our listeners for some help.
Of what do you need help with?
Guys, I need y'all to DM her when you see her, tell her. But please try to convince her to get this family an air fryer. We've been trying for months, and she's like, no. No, I won't. Even Ashlyn has said, can I have an air fryer? She's like, no.
So no, if you see her... that's not what it is. Like, I would really love to have an air fryer. I don't want to get it for Christmas. And I know that's where it's going to, is me getting an air fryer for Christmas. And that's not a fun Christmas present. That's an appliance that you just go buy one day.
Okay, so, then why can't you just go buy it one day?
Okay, I will do that, but I don't want an air fryer under the Christmas tree.
I never said anything about a Christmas tree.
But that's where it's going.
We've been asking one since damn St. Patrick's
but
Day.
But that's where it's going, is me getting an air fryer for Christmas, and I want fun stuff for Christmas, not an air fryer.
You're an old woman now.
I don't want kitchen gadgets for Christmas.
That's all you're getting now.
I don't want any of that.
I'm getting you a new cutlery board.
Fun stuff. A new cutlery board.
If you're lucky, maybe even a vacuum cleaner.
We have so many of those already. But yeah, like I've noticed all the cool ass toys that are out right now. And they didn't have this cool stuff when we were kids. They have, y'all, I don't know if any of y'all watch Monster High. I love Monster High. I have all the movies to it. They have a huge box of all the dolls together. And don't laugh at that. I'm talking about kid stuff. But of all the dolls together, there's like six dolls in one. And it's amazing. So I would
have a huge box.
I would really like the Monster High dolls.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. I will let y'all know if I get them or not. Anyway, so
I found my Christmas present.
What?
This was just released at the CIMA.
The what?
Semi show. I don't know what. For vehicles and stuff like that. They're calling this the Two-Faced Super Duty truck.
That's gross.
You're gross.
I don't like that at all.
Go on with your story then.
Okay. Asshole. Like, what color is your car? Well, it's one side is black and white. Oh, y'all know what I really want? A puppy. A Brussels Griffin puppy. That's what I would really like.
Not getting that either.
Okay, then. So, on with our story. Do you know what we're doing this week? I've told you about it several times. Do you remember?
No.
Okay. We are doing Roswell alien cover-up. Yay.
Yay.
Awesome. So, yeah, y'all, I've spent a lot of time on this story. I hope it is great. I've got a lot of accounts on here of people that were there. So, let's dive on in.
Hey, have you ever heard of Elf on the Shelf?
And
what about Rambo on a Lambo?
We're going to dive on in and get started with the story. Now, for starters, we're going to go over our key players.
Hold on a minute. I've got to give some Christmas advice. I just found this on Facebook. It's how to drink eggnog. There's just one step. Throw it in the trash.
So,
you're so hateful to me.
The key players in the game are, we have
Carmen Bryan,
a pilot named Kenneth Arnold. We have W.W. Mac Brazel, the rancher that found everything. We have Major Jesse Marcel.
Is that Wild Willie?
What?
W.W.
We have Major Jesse Marcel, who was the fall guy. We have Milton Sprouse, who was part of the 509th Bomb Wing. We have Lieutenant Walter Haught.
Lieutenant Diane.
Public Relations Officer. We have Charles Forgus, a police officer. And we have Miriam Bush, a nurse. Well, kind of. We'll go over that, though. We're going to go over everybody. Oh my gosh, do y'all hear our dog? She's so gross. Okay, there it is.
So, anyways.
I guess I'll do it one more time, I bet. Okay. Our story starts with, there she goes, a pilot named Kenneth Arnold. On June 24th, 1947, Arnold was flying to Yakima on a sales call. Yakima's in Washington. I didn't know that till this story. He had read about a downed Marine C-46 transport that had crashed near Mount Rainier in January. The skies were clear and he had a little extra time, so he flew over the area in hopes of spotting the wreckage and getting a nice little reward of $10,000. Which is the equivalent to $133,637.67 today. He gave up looking around 3 p.m. and was headed back to Yakima. All of a sudden, a bright flash caught his eye. He thought it could be geese, but it was reflecting too much light for that. Arnold was quoted saying, "As if someone had started an arc of light in front of my eyes." The objects were moving very fast, about 25 to 30 miles away at an altitude of 10,000 feet. Arnold estimated the size to be larger than a DC-4 airliner, which was an airplane that held 52 passengers. He estimated it to be moving at about 1,200 miles per hour, which means it was traveling twice the speed of sound. That wouldn't be done until October, 4 months later. When Arnold got back, he filed a report. He assumed it was an experimental aircraft, but the military was baffled by his report. The Army and FBI interviewed Arnold, and both were impressed with his character and his integrity, but they had no idea what he saw. An Army spokesman was quoted saying, "As far as we know, nothing flies that fast except a V-2 rocket, which travels 3,500 miles an hour and that's too fast to be seen. Arnold described the objects being flat like a pie pan and saucer-shaped. So that's what the reporters wrote. Flying saucers. That's also why we call some UFOs flying saucers today. Now, on June 14th, approximately 75 miles north of Roswell, New Mexico, Mac Brazel and his 8-year-old son Vernon were out surveying the land. They were checking on the sheep when a glimmer caught their eyes. They walked over to see what it was. It looked like some sort of metal and rubber and paper. Mac's main concern was the sheep. He didn't want the animals to eat any of this, but it seemed like... What?
I'm sorry. You may have already said this. When was this? Like, what year?
1947.
47.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So, is that close to when... I'm trying to remember. Is that the close to the supposed Roswell crashes and stuff?
This is the Roswell crash that we're doing.
Oh. Sorry.
Remember that when I was saying what we were going to do and I thought you'd get real excited and you said, oh. Yeah.
My bad, guys.
We're doing the Roswell crash, y'all.
Well, also, since we stopped real quick, Roswell... Like, not the newer version, but the older version of the Roswell TV show. Jennifer and I absolutely adore that show.
Oh my gosh. We've watched
it, like, probably the whole series, you know, 3 or 4 times. It's really good. If you get a chance to watch it, do. It's on a streaming service now. Of course, it's not.
It's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu now. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of the new one. I watched a couple episodes and turned it off. But the old one, if you get a chance, it's really good.
And it's really cheesy, y'all.
Yeah,
but
that's what I like about
it. It's so good. Okay, back to the story. I'm glad you said that because I meant to and I forgot about it. Let's see here. They walked over to see what it was. It looked like some sort of metal, rubber, and paper. Mac's main concern was the sheep. He didn't want the animals to eat any of this, but it seemed like they were scared of the debris. Mac leaves it and decides to come back and get it. He can't figure out what this stuff is. He gets some of his neighbors to take a look at the metal. It doesn't bend, break, or burn. Mac knew it was not a weather balloon. He'd had those fall before. What could this be? A few weeks later, Mac has to go to Roswell to sell some wool and run some errands. While in town, he learns many people have been seeing weird things in the sky. Mac goes to Sheriff George Wilcox. He tells the sheriff he may have a flying saucer on his ranch. Wilcox reported it to the Roswell Army Airfield, RAAF. It was at this point Major Jesse Marcel entered the picture. Marcel was a World War II vet. He later played a significant role in the post-war atomic bomb tests. Basically, he was no ordinary soldier and was a key figure in the U.S. military. A few days later, Marcel recounted how the ranch is out in the middle of nowhere and he spent a couple of hours looking for more parts. Soon after, the RAAF held a press conference and openly declared a flying saucer had been found on the ranch. The front page headline of the newspaper read, RAAF captures flying saucer on ranch in Roswell region. The very next day, the story was changed. The military officially declared the debris to be a crashed weather balloon. Pictures were published in the newspaper of Marcel posing with the wreckage, alongside the revelation that the mysterious object found on a lonely New Mexico ranch was a harmless, high-altitude weather balloon and not a grounded flying disc. Years later, CIA agent Ben Smith said in an interview, "No other government in the world has said, we have a spacecraft. And then the next day, there's another press release that says, never mind, it was just a weather balloon." Marcel died in 1986, but his grandson, Jesse Marcel III, went on record saying his grandfather was, quote, the fall guy, who was told by superiors to deny the truth of what he saw at the crash site. Namely, material that was not made by human hands. Marcel even said that apparent glass fibers and optic cables in the wreckage may have been from a shipboard computer. After word got out, the 509th Bomb Wing arrived. Allegedly, they came to the ranch and got all the debris and detained Mac for 4 to 5 days. Now, Mac's the one that found everything. After Mac was so-called released, he bought a brand new truck and moved his family and himself across state and opened his own business and was never heard from again. Before all of this, the Brazell family was having money issues. They seemed okay after this. Along with the 509th Bomb Wing came Milton Sprouse. Sprouse led the ground crew. Quote, "I was there the day they announced a UFO had crashed. The next day it was published in the Roswell Daily Record, and that night all the generals said the story was untrue. The 509th were taken to the crash site and told to walk shoulder to shoulder through the field looking for debris pieces. Sprouse couldn't go, he was needed in the air, but 5 men from his crew went to the ranch. They said it was out of this world," Sprouse said. "They found metallic foil that, when crumbled, would unfold without a crease. Everyone agreed this was no weather balloon." Sprouse also recalls people speaking about alien bodies immediately after the debris was recovered. "They took the bodies to a hangar and there were 2 guards at each door with machine guns," he said. He also said one witness, a barracks mate, was an emergency room medic who reported seeing what he called humanoid bodies in the hospital. They went to the ER room and 2 doctors and 2 nurses were called in and they dissected 2 of the humanoid bodies. Then, those doctors and nurses were transferred immediately. "My friend said he saw the bodies." Oh my gosh, I almost read what you wrote. Troy wrote little notes on my notes. "And believed him," Sprouse said. "We don't think the humanoids ate food, and I don't know why he said that. The digestive system wasn't designed for food or something. But like the other doctors and nurses, his friend was suddenly transferred, and he was never heard from again." While the 509th Bomb Wing took over Roswell, Deputy Sheriff Charles Forgus was traveling with Jess Slaughter to pick up a prisoner. On the way, they were stopped or blocked by the U.S. Army. He said there were soldiers everywhere. Quote, "They were hauling a big creature, hauling him away. They wouldn't let us get very close to it either. I think I've seen about 4. They continued to get the prisoner, and on their way back, they saw about 300 or 400 soldiers. Forgus was sure he saw the alleged 4 alien bodies. They had legs and feet like humans. He also stated they were putting them on tow trucks. Quote, "They were lifting them up with a crane and picking them and swinging them to put them on the truck. The bodies must have been about 5 feet tall. They were covered. Their eyes look like the ones we see on television in the pictures of them. As much as I could tell, the skin was a brownish color, like they were in the sun for too long," Forgus said.
Hey, you know what?
What?
Just a random thought. You know, there wasn't really, I know there wasn't a lot of media before then, but, you know, before World War II, there was never really any thing about aliens or UFOs or flying saucers. Right. And then after World War II, yeah, this Roswell crash, just a couple years after that. Have you ever thought that aliens could have come to check on Earth after something like that happened? Because you remember, you got the atomic bomb, you know, that you could see from the atmosphere, and, you know, aliens keep coming back and checking on us to see if we've figured things out enough to find out about them. True. Like, we advanced in technology, or
you think
they once come to the Earth and saw giant lizards roaming the Earth and like, hell no, fuck this place, we're gone. You know,
I mean, it's very possible. I do know of other stories during World War II about Hitler and aliens, and that's another story we'll have to go over because it is very interesting.
I've seen that too, but I think people, not people, but a lot of people want to try to say Hitler was making UFO type weapons, and that explains a lot of the stuff we see or saw back then. It was stuff that Hitler was doing from the war and blah blah blah.
Right.
More of a cover up type stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up because there's some very interesting stories about the Nazis and aliens that we will go over. I feel like after the whole Kanye incident, it's a little too soon to talk about Hitler, so we may wait on that one. But you know, there's always in everything in all kinds of history, like the, you know, the pyramids and what you've talked about before, the hieroglyphics and the yeah. pictures that you see, there's always a hidden spaceship in there somewhere, you know?
And there was one I saw recently, too, that kind of resembled an astronaut.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, and I think you're probably right. Roswell was pretty much the beginning for everything, and also when the pilot Kenneth Arnold that we were talking about, where he saw the first, you know, flying saucer, how he put it, after he saw that, there were reports of UFOs like crazy after that. They were seen everywhere, or, you know, people thought they saw them everywhere after it went public, you know.
And see, the thing about it is, too, like, Roswell, New Mexico, you know, desert area. How far is that from, you know, Nevada? I don't think it's very far, is it?
It's next to Texas, and Nevada is up some, I believe.
The reason I'm saying that is because, you know, they were testing atomic bombs in Nevada.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe you could see that stuff from...
Oh, I'm sure.
Space. I don't know.
I'm sure. And a lot of the people that came... were part like this Marcel, he was helping out with the atomic, you know, bomb tests and stuff like that. So you're probably onto something. But after the what was his name? I've already forgot. After Sheriff Forgus reported saying that he saw the alien bodies, the military would later say that what he saw was crash test dummies. Now, if they're saying it's a weather balloon, why does a weather balloon need a crash test dummy? Just yeah. doesn't make sense, right?
Two crash test dummies with what?
Troy wrote in my notes again right there. next, we go to Miriam Bush. She was an executive secretary who worked at the base. Many people claim that she was a nurse. She knew exactly what happened on the ranch, and she ended up paying for it with her life. Miriam's position meant she had clearance to see the bodies while they were at the base. Her superior, Lieutenant Colonel Harold Warren, played a role in the autopsies. Bush knew the circumstances and was warned. She became extremely paranoid and feared for her life. She had been told to never, ever discuss what she had seen. Miriam then decided to tell her family, but warn them to never tell anyone what had happened or what she knew. Miriam eventually became an alcoholic. Even though she never told anyone else about the alien bodies, she always felt like she was being watched. Listening devices were allegedly placed in her phone once in 1969 and another in 1982. In December of 1989, she took off to San Jose, California, and checked into a motel under her sister's name, an action that suggests she knew she was being watched. The very next day, Miriam was found dead. A plastic bag was tied tightly around her neck, and she had scratches and bruises all over her body. The official cause of death was suicide. That does not sound like suicide to me.
Yeah.
No one will ever know what exactly Miriam knew about the Roswell incident. Now, in 1994, 47 years after the incident, the military came back and said, you know what? It definitely was not a weather balloon. They decided that they were going to tell us the truth. It was actually a top secret project called Project Mogul. Basically, it was a program by the U.S. Army Air Forces involving microphones flown by high-altitude balloons whose primary purpose was long-distance detection of sound waves generated by Soviet atomic bomb tests. That was their final word on what really happened in Roswell. I looked up the reports on all of this, and they said that there was never any word about aliens whatsoever in the reports. They never wrote it down. They were hiding nothing. And after Mogul came out, this is what they were saying Roswell was.
The thing about it is, we'll never know.
Now, I did tell you what their final word was, but you know what?
What?
We have somebody else's final word that was there.
Ooh.
You know what? We have a deathbed confession by somebody who is very important and let it leak as
but
soon.
Also, every time I hear something like that, a deathbed confession,
mm-hmm.
I always think, is that someone's final joke? You know, like, haha, I got you one last time.
I don't know,
time.
Though. This is a military man, and I don't... Someone ranking as high up as this man did, I don't feel like he was much of a jokester. But, listen to this. Let me get into this, and then we'll talk about it. We have a deathbed confession. Lieutenant Walter Halt, the public relations officer on base that day in 1947, admitted in an affidavit to be opened after his death. So it wasn't a joke. He just couldn't say anything because he knew something was going to happen to him if he did. So he had all this written down and made them open it when he died, which I love this. It's so awesome. He admitted that the weather balloon story was always a cover-up. He had seen the actual object that they kept in a hangar. He had been in the presence of alien bodies. And
can you describe what they look like?
This is all I got. And in something that later fell into the canon of the event but was not reported on, he knew about a second crash site. Many spoke about their experiences that day, but it is known that he was on site when all of this happened. At the end of the affidavit, he wrote, that what I personally observed was some kind of craft and its crew from outer space. And that's what I'm ending the story on, and Troy wrote more notes on my notes. So there it is. We have so many people that, you know, disappeared on us after they said something. We have this man that's high up in the military that wrote this down, and also there is something else I wanted to let y'all know, but I could not get a lot of information on it, basically because we don't have the History Channel, y'all. So I'm going to give it to y'all and let y'all look at it. Now, Jesse Marcel, the one that was the fall guy, I guess you could say, that said that they were, that it was a flying saucer and then had to come back and be like, never mind, it wasn't that guy. Well, he kept a diary, okay? In his diary, he wrote down everything about Roswell. Now, the thing about it is, he wrote it all in code. So, what the History Channel did, they hired one of those professional code breakers to go through all of his diaries. They made a 3-part documentary, and they're decoding his diaries. How cool is that?
That is cool.
I would really like to get the History Channel just for that show. And they may have done it a few years ago, because when I came on this, I didn't see like when they did it. But when I was reading about Jesse Marcel, because his story is so interesting. And then for his grandson to come out and say that, yeah, he was the fall guy. He saw everything, but he had to do what he had to do. And then after that, the diaries. I wish they would print those diaries out. That would be very, very cool. Now, as I said, go on the History Channel. Maybe you can, you know, see if there's previous shows they've done. I don't know. We may look on Amazon and see if it's on there, because I would really like to watch that and see what's said. Yeah. But
also, speaking of which, do you know what works faster than a calculator?
What?
A cal canal.
I don't know what that means. but yes, I became very obsessed with that story. It seems like a lot of people lost a lot trying to tell everybody the truth, and even when they saw things, their life was pure hell.
You know, in all the alien movie, not alien type movie, but like any movie that has to deal with aliens and the secret bases and all that stuff,
yeah,
there's always like, okay, in Independence Day, where he's like, oh, you really think a hammer costs $4,000?
Yeah.
They find the budget to hide the stuff that, you know, like in Area 51, right, and all that stuff. You know, there's stuff out there we won't ever know about. It makes me mad because I just want to know.
Oh, I know. You know? This story reminded me a lot of that American Horror Story we watched. Was it 2 years ago when they did Area 51? And
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of that, about the president knowing all this, because
that's where we got our technology
from. Yeah, and like, presidents get this information when they get in office. They get to learn about all this stuff, and they won't say anything about it. I wish they would.
You know, that may not be true, though.
I don't know. That'd be a lot to put on a president, I guess.
Remember, like, in Independence Day, because they changed so much, they said it was a need-to-know basis.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like if I were president, I'd be like, you know what, y'all do whatever. Just let me know what's going on with Area 51. I just want to know all that.
That and the JFK assassination would be the two
absolutely
things that I would be like, I want to know now.
Weren't they supposed to, like, already have released all that stuff?
Yeah, but I think so much of it was redacted. Trump released a bunch of it, but a lot of it was redacted, and I don't think anything really went far with it.
Because I know the whole thing was they had to wait till everybody involved was dead. And that's why they waited so long, and then they were going to release it. But, yeah, this world is just bananas.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, this story, I was hoping it would be a lot longer than it would, but it was so hard to find accounts of people that were willing to speak out. And y'all, I even tried to get on the CIA website and they blocked me real fast. So, because there was something about the CIA and I clicked on it and they're like, no, absolutely not. So, you know, I did what I could and I hope y'all enjoyed it. I hope it made you guys think, because to me, I feel like Roswell is kind of where it first started, the world started to know more about aliens. I feel like the aliens have always been here with us. As Troy and I were saying about, you know, the pyramids and stuff like that. And I feel like this is when the world first woke up and realized that we aren't alone. I also, this week, I've been driving my coworkers crazy. I've been asking them, what do you think? Do you believe in aliens? Do you not believe in aliens? And 100% all of my coworkers, I don't think they wanted to say, yes, I believe in aliens, because they were thinking of like little green men. But a lot of them were like, I believe there's something else out there, which anything that's not of this world is alien. We're alien to other creatures out there. So yes, 100% they all believed in something. So that was pretty neat, I thought.
Yeah.
Do you believe in aliens?
I don't know. I mean, you always ask me this. A lot of stuff. The only thing that really, truly gets me is most everything can be explained except for those big-ass stones on the pyramid. Like, they did not have the technology to move those things around.
No, that does get me too, and how precise they are in their measurements.
Where it's like on true north, exactly too.
Yeah, and it like the, I think the, their measurements add up to some kind of, not like pi, but like the speed of light or something. It's something crazy that the measurements add up to. I can't remember what it is right now because we should do an episode on the pyramids.
We could, yeah.
That would be a really good episode. You know what, guys? We're going to do an episode on the pyramids.
We need to find Cleopatra's tomb, too, by the way.
Absolutely we do. Cleopatra was wonderful. But anyway, yes, go back and watch Roswell if y'all have Hulu. It's a really cool show. It's set, obviously, in Roswell, New Mexico.
And it's a 90s show.
It is a 90s show, but it's about the aliens that have to be teenagers, I guess, in the 90s. Yeah. Like, they wake up and they learn to adapt, and they are the teenagers in a 90s high school. And they go through all kinds of crazy stuff. And it's very, like, once you get into it and get over the cheesiness, it's a really good show. We've watched it, like you said, about four times, probably. I love that show. But yes, thank you guys for listening. I realized lately that I've really been stuck in the whole paranormal aspect. So I'm trying to get a few more alien stories out there. And because I will get caught in a loop and just keep going, keep going, keep going. So I've had a lot of you guys bring me story ideas, and I'm so grateful because we have so many stories now that we're good. I don't have to, you know, worry about what we're doing next week or the week after that or the week after that, you know.
Right.
I'm so excited that y'all are responding and letting us know what y'all want to hear because y'all have come up with some really cool ideas, and I'm loving it. So keep those coming. Send us a message on Instagram at Supernatural Smut Podcast, and let us know what you want to hear. And I'm so glad you guys tuned in this week. We will see you guys Sunday. You have anything you need to say?
No.
No? Not really. You good? All right. Make good choices. Stay hydrated, and we will see y'all later.
Bye.